Glenn Mays, a professor of health services research at the University of Kentucky, and I'll be sharing with you some findings from our study looking at the dynamics of Medicaid expansions and public health spending in the U.S. So, and I first have nothing to disclose in terms of conflicts, but I do want to acknowledge our funding from the Robert Johnson Foundation, and also I'm supported through an NIH CTSA award. We have data here coming from multiple sources, but especially data from the NACHO National Profile of Local Health Departments, as well as data from the University of Kentucky Poverty Center that we acknowledge here. So by way of motivation, understanding our interest in looking at public health expenditures and the effects of health reform and Medicaid expansions on those expenditures, part of the issue of understanding these potential dynamics has to do with how we currently finance public health activities in the U.S. And as this slide shows from the national health expenditure accounts, we're heavily reliant on state and local governments to fund much of the programs and policies that are implemented through the public health system, as the green bar shows. The federal government is really a minority investor when it comes to financing public health activities across the U.S. We also know from years and decades of monitoring governmental public health spending that the trends in public health spending, the upward trends that we've seen in overall healthcare system expenditures have not taken place to nearly the same extent for public health activities. If you look at per capita public health spending, especially inflation-adjusted per capita public health spending, it's been fairly flat over the last 15 years. And as these slides show as well, we've definitely seen a notable decrement in per capita public health expenditures since the in the wake of the economic recession after 2008, raising questions again about our ability as a nation to maintain important public health protections across the U.S. Now, the Affordable Care Act included some provisions designed to bolster and strengthen financing for public health activities, most notably the public health, the Prevention and Public Health Fund that was created, initially authorized with $19 billion in new federal funding to be implemented through that fund over the 10-year period. We've seen, obviously, cutbacks in that fund over time. It was reduced by $6 billion in 2012, and sequestration has further reduced it. But there's also other elements of health reform, such as incentives for hospitals through the community benefit provisions of ACA, for incentives for hospitals to invest in public health activities, and other incentives for other stakeholders. But overall, these changes of ACA really allow for a number of degrees of freedom in terms of how resource changes are likely to take place under ACA with regard to public health expenditures. The Medicaid expansions are obviously another big element of ACA that have important public finance implications. From our perspective in studying public health delivery and public health financing, there are some important unintended consequences for public health that are related to Medicaid expansions. States that face higher Medicaid spending, higher state Medicaid expenditures under ACA, potentially will face some constraints in terms of how those states absorb those higher costs. Now, we know that the states that are pursuing the ACA-authorized Medicaid expansion, at least for in the initial years, those additional expenditures for the expansion populations are all federally financed. And although that 100% federal financing drops to 90% after 2016. But there's also states face additional Medicaid costs associated with previously eligible but newly enrolled beneficiaries in Medicaid. And many states, both expansion and non-expansion states, are seeing higher Medicaid spending due to these previously eligible enrollments, the quote-unquote Woodwork effect. Now, because of the federal matching policies that are attached to Medicaid, there's a natural incentive for states that are facing increases in their health care expenditures, that incentive for them to spend their next dollar in Medicaid rather than to spend it in health programs and other public health programs that do not bring with them a federal match. So that's the potential unintended consequence here, that new Medicaid expenditures that face states may crowd out other state and local public health spending because of the competition for resource needs at the state level. So our research study here was designed to examine that possibility. Do states that face increases in Medicaid spending, do they change their spending for other public health activities in order to absorb those higher Medicaid costs? And secondly, what are the likely health and economic effects of Medicaid-induced changes in public health spending and expenditures for other public health, non-Medicaid public health programming? When we talk about public health activities in the context of this study, we're focusing primarily on broad-based activities that are implemented through state and local public health agencies that are designed to protect health and promote prevent disease and injury on a population-wide basis. So this broad array of activities that the Institute of Medicine has highlighted over time that are unique governmental public health responsibilities, from surveillance and investigation to monitoring and assessment, enforcement of public health laws and regulations, as well as implementation of chronic disease and communicable disease prevention and control activities. Prior work that we've done that are very important to understand here, we've shown through previous work that communities that spend more on public health activities over time, that have higher per capita public health expenditures, those communities see larger and faster reductions in mortality from some of the leading preventable sources of death, including infant mortality, but also mortality from a number of the major chronic disease drivers of premature mortality. We've also shown that communities that spend more on public health activities, that have higher per capita public health expenditures, over time they see slower rates of growth in their medical care expenditures in those communities. So there is a growing evidence of a medical cost offset associated with public health expenditures. So those two facts taken together suggest that if higher Medicaid expenditures crowd out public health expenditures over time, there could be adverse health and adverse economic consequences from that unintended consequence of Medicaid expenditures competing for resources with other public health programs. We use a variety of data sources for this analysis, piecing together a variety of data sources over a 17-year period of time to look historically at how Medicaid spending dynamics have affected public health spending dynamics both at state and local levels. We use data from the Census Bureau's Annual Survey of Government Finances and the every 5-year Census of Governments that's conducted by the Census Bureau. We use Medicaid program expenditure data from CMS. We use several other human service program expenditure data that comes from the Poverty Research Center at UK. And then we link all those sources together with detailed data on state and local public health agency expenditures from the NHO profile of local health departments and from our own National Longitudinal Survey of Public Health Systems that has been conducted at 3 points over that period of time. So multiple data sources coming together that let us measure Medicaid spending and public health spending at state and local levels and to track those interactions over time. Our analytic approach, fairly complicated. I won't go into a lot of details, but for the econometricians in the room, we're using spending share equation models. We're first modeling Medicaid expenditures as a share of total state and then total local spending, and then ultimately measuring public health expenditures, how public health expenditures respond to changes in Medicaid expenditures, again, as a share of total state and local spending. We explicitly account for the potential endogeneity of Medicaid, the Medicaid expenditure decisions, in order to account for the potential, the influence of unmeasured factors that jointly affect Medicaid and public health spending at a state and or a local level. These are for our analytic models. We use a variety of control variables to control for variation across states and communities in the demand and the supply of Medicaid and public health services. And our instrumental variables are shown there in the blue box there that are used to correct for the endogeneity and the influence of omitted unobserved factors. These are all measures of federal programs or populations that are served by federally directed policies that are plausibly exogenous to state level decisions. So these are populations that are eligible for federal programs that are controlled at the federal level, not at the state level. So we use those as instruments to correct for endogeneity in this analysis. So on to results. High-level results, just looking at how Medicaid spending and public health spending vary across states with this simple 2x2 plot. What we're seeing here on the x-axis is Medicaid, the share of the state budget that goes to Medicaid, and on the y-axis, the share of the state budget that goes to public health spending, that goes to public health. And we can see a definite pattern toward an inverse association here. States that spend more on Medicaid over time spend less on other kinds of public health programs as a share of their total budgets. The two different colored dots differentiate states that have less generous versus more generous federal matching requirements. Blue dots are states that have more generous federal matching requirements through Medicaid, meaning they have a stronger federal incentive to spend their resources in Medicaid because they draw down more federal dollars. And we see, again, for those states in particular, a pattern toward higher Medicaid spending, lower public health spending, just at a descriptive level. So first stage of our analytic results, looking at the determinants of Medicaid spending, what factors influence Medicaid spending over time. These are our instrumental variables that we're using to correct for endogeneity. We want to see that they're strongly correlated with Medicaid spending, and we do see that. These variables, which are signals of federally controlled policies, are for the most part strongly correlated with Medicaid spending at the state level. Then looking at how, at the second stage of our analysis, how Medicaid spending influences state public health spending over time, we can see through a variety of different analytic strategies, we get consistent evidence of negative effects, meaning consistent with a crowd-out mechanism. As Medicaid spending increases, public health expenditures decrease. And our instrumental variables fixed effects model is really our best estimate of that in terms of being able to control for other factors, giving us a coefficient of about 0.08, which tells us for every 10% increase in the share of the state budget that goes to Medicaid, we see not quite a 1% reduction in the share of the state budget that goes to public health programs. At the local level, very similar estimate, looking at how these play out at the local level. How that translates into actual dollars, the share estimates are a little confusing because Medicaid spending and public health spending are on very different scales. So we translate this into actual dollars. You can see these crowd out effects are pretty substantial. At the median Medicaid budget growth, which over our time period is almost 4%, that 4% growth in Medicaid for the median state results in almost a 10% decrement in state public health spending, and even a little bit larger, about a 12% decrement in public health spending over this period of time. We take that forward and show that those decrements in public health spending result in sizable reductions in actual delivery of public health services using data from our National Longitudinal Survey of Public Health Systems. That median Medicaid budget growth of almost 4% results in over a 10% reduction in the availability of core public health activities in the average U.S. community, and even larger effects on the intensive margin, which is the proportion of activities that are directly delivered by governmental public health agencies in those communities. Finally, we take this analysis even further down the causal chain to look at the projected health effects of that Medicaid crowding out public health spending over time, using data from our prior study that I mentioned earlier that documented the health effects from public health spending. And we project if these crowd-out effects persist over a 10-year period of time, we would see sizable increases in preventable mortality rates associated with the crowding out of public health expenditures over time. The largest effects, again, for infant mortality over 10 years, about a 12% increase in infant mortality over and above what it otherwise would have been without the increased Medicaid expenditures crowding out public health activity. And overall, that red line there is actually a mortality offset that was estimated by Steve Somers and others earlier this year, looking at the mortality reductions associated with Medicaid expansions. They estimated a 9% mortality reduction for Medicaid expansions. And as our estimates show, much of that mortality benefit could be eroded if this public health crowd out is allowed to persist. So in conclusion, we find evidence of a substantial crowd out in public health spending that results from increased state Medicaid expenditures over time. The magnitude of that crowd out is non-negligible. It's sufficient to produce sizable health effects over time, according to our projections. In fact, they're large enough to reduce or even perhaps fully offset the direct mortality benefits that we know accrue from increases in Medicaid and health insurance coverage over time. We also find evidence I didn't show here that crowd out may even be larger for low-resource states and communities that have even tighter budget constraints. So the implications here is that there's obviously a need for policymakers to be aware of this unintended consequence and potentially a role for federal spending, such as the dollars initially allocated into the Prevention and Public Health Fund, to be used as a mitigation factor to reduce this crowd out potential. There may be a need for maintenance of effort requirements and for public health programs as states move forward with Medicaid and coverage expansions. And as well as a need to take a closer look at the alignment between public health and primary care delivery under and how we finance those activities to help mitigate these issues. So I'm going to stop there, and I think I came in with just a minute or two for time for clarifying questions if we have some. Yeah, good question. And actually, I skipped over my last little political economy slide where we actually looked at some political factors that intercede in this crowding out mechanism. And I think public health is particularly vulnerable to it, in part because it does not it doesn't have the visible impact that coverage expansions do. It doesn't have the as visible of constituencies in terms of people who actually enroll and obtain coverage. And again, for public health activities, again, because those activities are primarily financed, 85% of those dollars that are supporting public health activities are state and local dollars. We have relatively few direct federal funding streams for public health activities. So there's not a lot of other places for state and local policymakers to go when they have new resource demands associated with coverage expansion. So, good question. Maybe one more, if there's another quick clarify. Yeah. Sure.
Using shares, if Medicaid is growing a lot, the shares of other things are going to be negative. Talk a little bit about how you assess the move from shares to actual absolute reduction in the level of spending for public health care.
Sure. Yeah, we actually do that in several ways. One is we estimate two separate versions of all of our models, both using the classic share equation and then also using per capita absolute expenditure levels. And we find the same pattern. The estimates are robust to estimate these relative effects in terms of share versus absolute in terms of per capita. We then translate the share estimates into actual per capita dollar changes. We use data on median expenditure levels for all the states at the state level and then all the communities in our data set. So we're able to look at that from both a relative change as well as absolute change. But that's exactly the reason we did that, because it's possible that just through Medicaid growth we'd see the shares of other activities shrink if Medicaid is growing rapidly, as it is in especially expansion states right now. Very good question. So we will have time for more discussion here toward the latter part of our discussion, but it is time for me to move ahead.